We hope you enjoyed this episode.
And remember to do good things for the environment.
You also can follow us on our Instagram.
At Concerning Climate Podcast.
See you later.
Bye.
Adam Natkovich and Leo Kowalski are part of the Tunnel Monster game team and the creators of Regenerate, a board game about managing resources through sustainable development. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
What kind of work do you do?
I'll start. I have a lot of jobs, and obviously during the pandemic, I think everybody sort of adopted more than one job domestically and professionally. So I work for my wife's business. I do insurance billing. That's sort of my small part-time job. And then the rest of my time, from a professional standpoint, I spend on designing games and doing all the business stuff that's associated with Tunnel Monster Collective. And then I'm also a full-time dad. I have two children, so spend a lot of time with our kids at home now.
And a chicken rancher.
And a chicken amateur chicken rancher.
I currently work for a nonprofit that's dedicated to developing solar in the state of Pennsylvania. It's called the PA Solar Center. So in addition to doing that, I also work with Adam on Tunnel Monster Collective part-time. And similarly, I'm interested in amateur gardening, farming. We have chickens and small plot of land where we grow our own food, and have been pursuing a sort of more sustainable life. So yeah, similar to Adam, I wear a couple of hats and try to balance it all together.
So could you explain the basic mechanics and premise of your game?
Yeah, sure. Regenerate is a resource management game. It's a cooperative resource management game. So players work together. They work together on a team, each with their own special abilities. And they have to work together to manage different resources in the game, like food, water, energy, and capital, or money, in order to grow a community. So the whole premise of the game is you're trying to build a community off the grid in this place called Fly Ranch, which is an actual location in the Nevada desert. And you're starting with next to nothing. You don't have any way to access natural resources or to gain money, capital. And so you have to build everything from the ground up. And while you're doing all of that, because the game takes place over 20 rounds or 20 years, you experience all sorts of natural and man-made disasters and challenges. These types of things get a little bit more intense as you go through the game, and that sort of simulates the effect of climate change.
How does your game relate to climate change? You kind of touched on that just now.
Yeah. So I'll take this out.
Sure.
I think the challenge for us to deal with the climate change is in the kinds of decisions we make about the energy systems and the way that we grow food and the way that we address community spaces. Like, where do we put people and what do they do? And so our game gives folks the option to pursue renewable energy, so wind and solar and hydro. It allows us to look at a more sustainable way to produce food. You know, we're using compost systems and, some more climate friendly methods of doing those things, and then the community buildings and structures that we put together in the game are meant to support a vision of the future where we are not extracting all of the resources just to do it, where we're actually being very conscious about what we take and what we give back and doing that in balance. So the game is meant to give folks an opportunity to put together a community that they'd actually want to live in, and that could be sustained for a long time without, but if anything, actually improving the environment rather than degrading it.
And just to add to that about the events, the things that we experience in terms of natural and man-made disasters, not only do you experience more of those in the game, but they become more intense over time. And this is consistent with what science suggests is going to happen in the context of climate change. We're going to experience more frequent natural disasters, and they're going to be more intense. So that just adds a whole new layer of of understanding as players work through the game and they build these sustainable systems, but they also have to plan for climate change becoming more intense.
So you kind of touched on this, but what do you think the importance of this game is?
Oh man, that's a good question. I would say it's important for a number of reasons. I think one of the most fun things is you get to learn about new types of sustainable technology. You also, in how you play the game, have to learn how to work as a team, which is an extremely important skill and sort of universally important in all sorts of professional development. And you're also learning about natural disaster and man-made disaster. So those are three of the things. And then there's a community side to that as well, where you're learning about how communities grow, like what sorts of planning has to happen in a community if we want to install certain types of renewable energy. How do we prioritize what we install? How do we manage space? Like we don't have we talk about natural resources like energy and water, but physical space in a community is also limited. So how do we manage that?
Yeah. And I would say our game is aimed at as many people as possible. So the game is supposed to be accessible to, ideally as middle school kids, even, high school kids, adults, whomever. But I think one of the things we're really trying to express with the game is that these are really difficult challenges. Like we can meet them, but it's not easy. And even if you have the best laid plans and you plan to put up your solar and you're growing your food organically, there will be terrible weather events that will destroy the things that you're trying to build or challenge them, I should say. There are pests and things that are more exaggerated because of climate change, and that'll increasingly be a problem that you have to deal with. And I hope people take away from it that it's a serious challenge and that it can be met if we work together and to do it, but it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be difficult forever. We're never going to finish the job. It's always about improving and being more conscientious of what we do. But as long as we work together, we can achieve it. So that, I think that's sort of the larger scheme of what we were trying to achieve with the game.
Yeah, there's different characters that you can play as well. So there's 12 unique professions that you can assume as you play through the game. And they range anywhere from artists to very specialized scientists and people that focus on community activities as well. And so I think it gives the players a chance to see how their own personal or professional interests can fit into this puzzle, and how everybody can sort of have a seat at the table as we try to solve these complex challenges. I mean, not only can they fit in, but I think it's essential that we embrace all of these different professions as we move forward, because we need, it's sort of all hands on deck as we move into the future. I think everybody needs to contribute in some way.
So you talked about the wide age range of this game. Why did you choose it to be a wide age range?
So we picked, this is actually, it's our first attempt at designing an educational game. I have some background in education. Leo has some interest in education, and I think we wanted, if you're going to have a game that can teach themes like science and community, we really wanted to make those as presentable to the biggest audience that we could. So folks that may not have college education, or maybe they don't have it yet, but folks that might not have a college education can still learn a lot about these different sustainable technologies. It also has a level of detail that's, I think, that sparks interest. So we're hoping that maybe younger players might become interested in some of these different professions or learning more about technology and perhaps leaning into that as a possible career choice. So I think, we wanted to cast a big net to, everybody likes games in some way or another. The trick is to make science, learning about science and community fun, and then presenting that information in sort of the form that's easy to digest. So yeah, we wanted to just cast the biggest net that we could.
How did you come up with the idea for your game?
Yeah, I'll take that, Adam.
Sure.
Yeah, so we designed this game in partnership with a nonprofit land art generator, and they are similarly very concerned with climate change and environment and sustainable design. And their mission is to promote creative solutions, bring in artists and designers and people with all these different skills to solve the problem in creative ways, ways that are beautiful, you know, technology that looks really interesting while also being really effective. And so, you know, when they approached us about working together, their main concern was that the game featured these considerations. It was about building a community, about having technology related to farming and energy and these kind of things, like very broad approach to what they wanted. And because I've worked in solar and renewable energy for about 8 years now and 10 years in just larger environmental issues, Adam has been working over 10 years in the same field. One of our other coworkers has been in renewables for, you know, 6-7 years. We all, I think, have a lot of experience and understanding of what at least many aspects of this game would look like already, just from our lives, like working with people, working with nonprofits and businesses, what those feelings and challenges are. So it was pretty easy once we had somebody who wanted to work with us and was going to do really beautiful artwork to say, like, yeah, go wild, put all of your ideas together. And so, it just came really from our personal experiences, you know, what we've experienced, and then a little bit of research. But, you know, I think the thing you realize sort of as you get older is that your interests will vary a lot. And even if you're working renewable energy, you might want to farm, you know, you might want to do gardening work. And you start to see how these things connect, like how you put solar panels in conjunction with a chicken coop and how that can make your life easier, and how you want, you know, compost to be integrated into these different things. And so I think it's just, we just build all these connections from the things that we were interested in real life.
And to add to that partnership, so Land Art Generator was the one who we sort of started working with directly, but this is also part of a much larger project at Fly Ranch. So there's the Fly Ranch project, which is it's a parcel of land outside of Reno, Nevada, that is owned by Burning Man. And this game ties into a much larger design contest where they're trying to put different types of renewable infrastructure on the landscape. So in many ways, the game is simulating what they're actually trying to do right now at Fly Ranch. They're trying to start this community. And so we're hopeful that the game not only shows the world how you could grow a community, but also can serve as like a, maybe even like a test mechanism for how they go about planning this community, just to get people thinking about the types of challenges they might face. So we were just really, really lucky to have our professional interests and our passions for game and have this opportunity to work with Fly Ranch Project and Land Art Generator. It just sort of all came together. We're very lucky and very thankful for the opportunity.
Why do you guys think that you decided to be game designers?
Yeah, I think everybody wants to be a storyteller to some extent. I think everybody goes through a phase, and some of them stick, where you want to write or create or make art. And I think part of it is none of us are very good artists. while we, several of us write, it feels like games really reach a lot wide audience. Like everybody likes games, and games are as popular now as they've ever been and keep getting more popular. And it's a social thing. So, you know, one of the things I don't like about writing or doing art or those pursuits is that you're very alone often. You're working by yourself. You work, people talk about it as if it's sort of a punishment. You know, you're sitting alone in a room and writing, and you know, you have to force yourself to do it. But games bring people together, and they create conversations and create friendships and society. So I think that for me, and I'll let Adam speak to himself, I am attracted to building games because I think it is a really wonderful way to get people to share my ideas and do it joyfully. And for me to enjoy doing it every minute because I get to work with people and, you know, to test the game, you have to play a game, and I love games. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a very fun pursuit, difficult as it may be. And it's still really, it's real work. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. But it's really satisfying in those ways that I don't think being by myself writing or painting or whatever would achieve for me.
Well, that really hits home with me. I've never been much of a visual artist. But I've always loved playing games. And it's funny, my kids asked me this the other day. They were asking, you know, why do you spend so much time making games? It's like, well, games are fun to play. So if I have a way that I can, like, I've played so many games over the years and they've been such an important part of my life that if there's some way that I can give back and sort of contribute my ideas to that conversation about what is fun, then that's very, very satisfying to me. And then when you think about education, I think the intersection of games and education is extremely important because I think whenever you're relaxed and you're having fun, that's when you have the best opportunity to learn. You know, there's definitely importance in classroom learning. I mean, there's hard facts and information that you just need to learn, but learning about systems and concepts and how to think critically and how to interact with each other, those are sometimes considered softer skills, but they're extremely important in all walks of life. And so I think games provide a fun way to explore those skills. And like Leo said, though, it's just a lot of fun. And it's really rewarding too. I mean, you get to start with nothing and then you build something and you're physically interacting with the pieces. It's something very enjoyable about bringing a game to life from just an idea, a spark of an idea, and then seeing it the whole way through to a system where people get to play it. That's really fun.
So are you thinking of making more games that relate to climate change or other important issues?
Yeah, I think the science side of things, I don't know if that'll ever escape us since we all have backgrounds in like renewable energy, but man, if I showed you the list of games ideas that we had, it gets longer and longer by the day. But I think that we've all realized the importance of games like Regenerate and the importance of like the professional relationships with folks like Loggy and Burning Man and the Fly Ranch Project. And we're exploring like the potential for doing additional games that are educational in nature. Maybe they'll be science, maybe they won't be, but we have some plans and hopefully a few projects on the horizon that'll allow us to grow the educational side of things. And we also have games that are games for game's sake, you know, things that are like role-playing games or dungeon crawlers or all different types of board games and card games that are sort of in the works. And I think, you know, it might be a different audience, but I think I would love to build another science game. I've been doing science for a long time and there are so many complex systems that we could make games about. And I like the idea of that challenge.
How can our listeners find your game?
So right now the game Regenerate is off for prototyping. So we are working with our partner Land Art Generator and they are working with a manufacturer to produce prototype for the game. And then it's going to be printed. They're going to be printing 500 copies of that game later this spring. We are 100% sure how we're going to distribute some of those copies of the game, but the physical copies, I should say. But one thing that we're definitely going to be doing is creating a digital, freely accessible version of the game on a platform called Tabletopia. And then also creating a more user-friendly version in an application called Tabletop Simulator. So Tabletop Simulator is an application on Steam where amateur game designers or professional game designers can make sort of a virtual version of their board game. And it's been very important to us and a lot of other game designers during the pandemic because we can't test our product or we can't test the games in person because we're all isolated. And so it's an extremely valuable tool for that, but a lot of people have sort of embraced this virtual environment. So we're hoping to sort of lean into that and create a version of the game that, you know, folks in classrooms or just the general public can access. So we're in the process of launching our website right now. And we're gonna have, that'll be tunnelmonster.games. That's gonna be the name of the website. But we're going to, we're gonna have a link to how you can access the game, both the digital and the physical copy. And then, as I mentioned, we have some potential projects on the horizon. We're hopeful that we actually do some outreach and some programming here in Pittsburgh to different schools and sort of promote the game that way so people can learn about it and play it. So I know that's not the clearest answer, but we're trying to figure out how we're going to get the game to everybody. And I think the digital version is gonna be probably the version that gets out there the farthest.
Yeah, and you can follow the information about the game on Facebook. You can look up Land Art Generator Initiative. You can look up Tunnel Monsters. You could look up Regenerate. All those should direct you to the Facebook groups about the game. And then as the official platforms online launch, the website for the game, our website, all of that will be posted on Facebook. Or if you look up Land Art Generator Initiative, or Logi 2020, LAGI 2020, it'll connect you to the game and news about the game.
So if you had one piece of advice and or information that you could give to us and everyone listening, what would it be?
Yeah.
Go for it, Leo. Yes, sir.
I think the obvious thing to say would be don't give up on your dreams. And I think that's very true. But I think I will be a little bit more clear about it. I think pursuing things that you care about takes a long time. I have definitely been discouraged at points in my life when I felt like the things that I wanted to achieve were not happening quickly enough, or you work really hard on something and it's not what you expected it to be and you feel like you need to start over. And, you know, we started working on designing games one form or another, like Adam said, 16 years ago, and then, you know, did other things with our lives here and there. And there were a period of time when we were not as in touch with each other as we are now. And you just kind of accept as you get older that things take time, but it's really hard to be patient when you're young. my advice would be that anything that you're really excited about or want to do will take a long time. And if it doesn't, that's great, but plan like it's going to take a long time and you won't be disappointed. You'll keep finding the energy to do it and the desire to do it. And if it works out really quickly, that's amazing. But if it doesn't, you're prepared and you know what it's going to take. And so I think that's a really important lesson to carry with you.
Yeah, I would add to that, in addition to patience, just being, I guess brave would be the right word. Just being bold enough to carve your own path and to just sort of see your own vision through. You know, professionally, I struggled a lot with trying to merge like my desire to do science and my desire to make games and my desire to do education. And now I, you know, working with Leo and our other two designers, Ian and Dave, you know, we sort of have this, we have our own little machine now where we can do all of those things. And sometimes you might not find, the best fit for a project that you want to work on, but if you're persistent enough and you're patient enough and you're willing to work hard, you can sort of make your own thing. So don't be afraid to sort of blaze your own trail and do what makes you happy, regardless of what anybody else says.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll add one more thing. The time you spend doing the work or, you know, drawing or whatever it is, the thing that you work on might not be the thing that like accomplishes your dream or gets you on the path. We worked 4 years solidly, meeting twice a week, working on our off hours, working part-time on a game that isn't Regenerate. And then Regenerate fell into our lap and we effectively designed it in a couple of months. But it was all of that time and effort we put into this other game that, you know, we will eventually finish, but we put a ton of effort into this game, kind of learning how to do the thing. Like how do we make a game? Well, we learned by trying to make a game. So then when the opportunity to make a different game came, we were much better at it. So I think anything you spend time on will make you better at the thing you're spending time on, even if it doesn't feel like it. Like mm-hmm. even if it feels like you're not doing a good job, but you're learning, and it's really important.
Yep.
So that concludes our interview. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
This is awesome.
Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And remember to do good things for the environment.
You also can follow us on our Instagram
@ Concerning Climate Podcast.
See you later.
Bye.